Or let's open our Bibles, if you would, please, again to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians, the second chapter. I had great liberty to preach this morning. And I think one of the reasons for that was that there was an interest on what was being preached in the pews. I think so. Amen. You can put somebody that can't preach their way out of a wet paper sack in front of somebody that's hungry, and they'll preach herself to death. I mean, they'll just kill over. Amen. And you put somebody that can preach, and I've met a few of those along the way, put them in front of somebody that don't want nothing, and it'll kill them. It really will. Amen. So I appreciate you being good listeners this morning, and hopefully that'll be the same tonight. Amen. Appreciate all of our visitors being with us. Tim's got his waitress from IHOP, I think, down. She served him at the table, and she still come to where he goes to church. Maybe she's wanting her tip. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. That might be it. She's wanting her tip. No, I'm just, amen. Amen. That's good. Amen. I think she's liking it pretty good. I see her very grinning, smiling.
It's been fun.
Amen. That's right. Me and Brother James talked to a young boy last night. He said he was telling us he was looking for a charismatic church. And I said, well, we're not that. But I said, now we're Live Wire. I said, you come in there. I said, our motto is a church of lives worth the drive. I said, it's liable to get out of the banks. Amen. He didn't make a trip today, but he may show up for it too. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll stop there just for a moment of prayer, and we can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name again tonight. And Lord, I realize that what I'm attempting to do tonight is beyond man to do. Lord, it cannot come from the energy of the flesh. It cannot come from, Lord, from any ability on my part. Lord, it must come from you. And therefore, we're praying at this point that you will enable us, that you will give us that divine unction and power. Lord, that liberty to preach the Word of God. Take us beyond ourselves tonight. Lord, I'm not interested in just giving a lecture, a little talk. Lord, I'm interested in just being your mouthpiece. God, that you'll say to us and through us, Lord, that which would be well-pleasing in your sight. Lord, I realize that sitting before me are a congregation, Lord, with various needs, Lord, small and great, Lord, that only you can meet. And Lord, we ask that you would walk among us tonight in power and great glory. Lord, have your way tonight, save sinners, stir the saints of God. And help us, Lord, that saved, to be thankful that we're saved. And those that are not saved, make them hungry, Lord, to get saved, want to be saved, desire to be saved. Put faith in their heart to believe that, Lord, you're not an Indian giver. And you're not joking when you say that you're wanting to save sinners from their sin. And Lord, your Bible still says, and you still mean it, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, I thank you that you're still in the saving business. Lord, you said in your word that you would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, that's what you said. And Lord, you meant it. All men means all men. All people, all of humanity, Lord, can be saved tonight. Lord, if they'll trust Jesus, repent of sin, believe the gospel, resign ownership of their life, Lord, they can come under new management. Have your way, Lord, tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Pray for us as we pick up where we left off this morning and try to preach God's word as we were looking at this morning. We're preaching on the subject under new management. Under new management. And I believe every saved person should be able to wear a shirt that says that. If you could summarize your testimony tonight of what God has done for you, in you, to you, and through you, it would have to say, it's because I've got a new manager. Amen. I've got a new life, and I've got a new master, and I've got a new Lord. Amen. And so that's what's being talked about in chapter 2 of Ephesians. You don't talk about salvation hardly at all without referring to the second chapter of Ephesians. Amen. How many times have we quoted verse 8, 9, and 10? How many times have we quoted verse 1, 2, and 3? Especially verse number 4. I mean, it's one of those chapters that just stands out when you're talking about salvation from sin. And the Bible tells us here and deals with this subject about new management. And the way we began looking at it this morning, in verse 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the past management. The past management. That is before you got saved. And by the way, according to verse number 1, he is talking to people that has been saved. He's talking to people that has been saved, and he's pointing out our past life, our old life of sin, and what that included, and what that meant, what that involved in verse number 1, 2, and 3. And I believe God is saying this here because he wants us to never get over it. He don't ever want us to forget about what God has done for us. And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespassing and in sin. He don't want you to get over it. This is coming in by way of reminder. He's refreshing the memory of God's people. Look where you came from. Look what God brought you from. Look what a mess you were in when Jesus found you. Amen? And so God doesn't ever want us to forget about it. And we'll be reminded throughout the endless ages to come of what God did to save us. And we're thankful for that. But we talked about the past management. That is the prince and power of the air that's recorded there in verse number 2 that was working and controlling our life, that we walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And of course, that's the devil. The spirit, the prince and power of the air is, of course, the devil, the god of this world, the Bible calls him. Little G-O-D, not capital. But we find past management. We find how that the devil worked in our life through death. Sin brings death. Amen? And we were dead in trespassing sin in verse number 1. And then it talks about in verse number 2, not only the corruption in verse number 1, and the devil wants to put sin in your life. He desires to corrupt you through trespasses and sins, transgressing the law and the word of God. He wants to fill your life with that. And then in verse number 2, he talks about the course of the past. The course of the past management, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. And we dealt with that this morning. And then thirdly, we talked about the past commander that's in your life. It's revealed there in verse 2 as the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And really, you're not in charge of your life. Right. I mean, you think you are, but really, you're being manipulated, you're being controlled, you're being directed by another. Now that upsets me. I remember watching a documentary one time, and it was on subliminal power, and it dealt with the whole subject of how that the world can control you, and you don't even know it that they're doing it. That they can embed things in a movie or in a commercial, or they can embed things that your conscious mind don't even see, didn't even pick up on, but your subconscious mind picks up on it, and they can control you, your moods, and everything through subliminal power. When I read that and heard that and listened to that, I said, that makes me mad. That makes me mad that there's people having have connection to what little brain I've got and controlling me, making me want to eat what I really don't want to eat. They pointed that out, like in the movies, which I don't go, not being such a been saved, 32 years this month. But they'll put things in up on the screen, and you're full. You eat probably before you went, not even full. And all of a sudden, you're wanting a bag of popcorn and something to drink, and don't even know why. That's what it is. Amen. Weak minded. But that made me mad that people have power to influence me to make some choices in life that I did not really want to do. I got upset over that. But you know that's the truth of sinners. The devil, you're making the choice. You're making the choice to go get the popcorn, so to speak. But there's another power behind your life that's influencing you to do so. Amen. And the devil cares nothing about you, but he's the commander in your life. He's controlling your life. Amen? And then there is the past cravings, as verse 2 talks about, or verse 3 rather, talks about the lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. If you're lost without God, those thoughts in your mind, those desires in your heart that's wicked and ungodly, who do you think put them there? Right. Amen? Your wicked, depraved flesh worked hand in hand with the prince and power of the air. That's why being a sinner is so dangerous, is because what the devil offers to you, your flesh will like it. Amen? Amen. And so, oh yes, that's right. But when Paul is dealing in his writings many times under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul would use the term old and new when he would talk about being saved. For instance, let me give you a verse of Scripture, Romans 6 and verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I quoted it this morning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, the Bible said, for you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then in verse 24 it says, and put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. He's talking about people that got saved. That's what happens. You put off the old man, the old Adamic human nature. You put off that just like you'd take off a garment as if to say, I don't need that no more. I'm not wearing that no more. Put off the old man with his deeds. And then in verse 10 it says, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. If you do not have an old life, it is because you do not have a new life. That makes sense? It takes you having a new life so that you can have, or at least be able to refer to, an old life. Amen? If you don't have a new life, then you still are living the old life. Amen? It takes the new life to make the old life. Without the new life possessed, the old life will still be practiced. Isn't that right? But let's move on, and I want to deal with where we got to this morning. We talked about the past management. How the devil was working as manager in your life, manipulating and controlling and working in your life. But when you come to verse number 4, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." You know what that verse is saying? I mentioned it this morning. He's saying it's time for a management change. He's telling us that as long as you're under the old manager, you're going to be living the old life of sin, which is one of decline, which is one of defilement, and one of destruction. Oh, what you need is a new manager in your life. Amen. You need a new boss in your life. You need a new master in your life. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Amen. We talked about this morning how that God butted in. God butts in. But God. I like that. In fact, verse number 4 would not have been verse 4. It would have been a continuation of verse 3 if God hadn't butted in. Your life would have continued on in sin if God hadn't butted in. Amen. God's the only one that made a difference in me. God's the only one that could have done for me what he's done, Brother J.R., and changed my life. It wasn't religion. It wasn't religion. Oh, get that through your head tonight. Religion is just a heavenly way to hell. God is not interested in offering you religion. Man will offer you religion. You can be religious to the bone, religious to the core, and do everything that religion asks and still miss heaven. Religion says get baptized. Religion says join a church. Religion says turn over a new leaf. Religion says straighten up. Start doing better. Start going to church. Start coming to Sunday school. Start getting involved in activities. But you can do all of that, Brother Rob, and still miss heaven. Amen. That's right. Amen. People say, well, you know, it don't matter what denomination. I'm not preaching denomination. I'm not preaching religion. I'm preaching a relationship. Hey man, if you don't know Jesus, it don't matter if you belong to every church in the country. If you don't know my Lord and my Savior, then you can be baptized 1,400 times and still miss heaven. Oh yes, it was a happy day in my life when I turned away from baptismal certificates and good works and relation, family heritage, and got saved by the grace of God. Changed my life. Changed my life. Amen. Kept me from going to the honky-tonks and the gyp joints. Amen. That's right. Amen. Salvation is from sin. Salvation is from sin. That's what the Bible says. Amen. But God butts in there in verse number 4, telling us that we need new management. Amen. And we talked about that this morning. Brother, the old manager, the old management of your life, the devil, he won't retire. No, he's not going to retire, and he will never be willingly replaced. If he's out of your life, if he's no longer manager of your life, you're going to have to fire him. I like saying that. You're going to have to fire his side, amen? Tell him, you're done. You work for me no more. and tell him, I'm not working for you no more. You don't pay good no how. All you ever done is lied to me. You told me and you promised me the moon, and you've done nothing but cause me heartache and keep me away from God and drag my soul toward hell. Oh yeah, fire him. What you need to do, if you're here lost tonight, fire him. Amen. I'd just get up from the pew and I'd say, devil, you're fired. Life is sin, you're fired. Flesh, you're fired. Amen. Oh yeah, hallelujah. There is the present management. Thank God I can refer to verse 1, 2, and 3. In fact, in the past. Amen. I'm glad verse 1, 2, and 3 is not in the present. I'm under new management now. That's what I'm preaching on. I'm under new management, thank God. Oh, it's not what I've done. It's not what I've done. It's the new management in the house. Amen. It's the new boss in town. It's the new boss in my heart. Amen. Oh, yes. The present management. Number one, we talked about it this morning. The present management. First of all, there was the gracious intervention. And the reason I use the word gracious is because grace is referred to in verse number 5. Closes the verse. By grace are you saved. He refers to it again in verse number 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Again in verse number 8, for by grace are you saved. So he's telling us that by that three times emphasis that everything God has done to remove us from underneath the dominion, amen, and the dominating power of the old management has been done by grace, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. See, it wasn't what I did. I just didn't quit one day and switch and start serving the Lord. The Lord had to do a work in my heart. And he intervened. Thank God for that divine intervention. Amen. Verse 1, 2, and 3 tells me what sin does. Verse 4 and the following tells me what God does. Verse number 1 through 3 shouts condemnation and judgment because of sin. But verse number 4 and following shouts salvation and justification because of a Savior. Amen. Verse 1, 2, and 3 seems to be unstoppable, unbeatable, unbearable until God butts in verse 4 and he can put a stop to verse number 3. Oh God, listen, the devil probably, instead of there being three verses about it, the devil wanted it to be three books about it. Hey, in other words, he wanted it to turn into chapters and books and volumes and libraries, and it would have had not God butted in. Oh God, put a stop to it. Amen. Thank God. Woo! Amen. Number 2, this is where we got to. I didn't preach too long on that. Here's where we got to this morning. Not only was there the gracious intervention or interruption. Boy, I could preach on that. That's one of my favorite subjects. I can just squeeze on that and squeeze on that. And there's still juice comes out of it. Amen. But that, secondly, there is the gracious affection. And Miss Janeth, I did not know what I was going to be preaching on these thoughts here. But there is the gracious affection that's involved in this present management. My new management. Do you see it in verse 4? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love. Not just for his love, but for his great love. Wherewith he loved us. That's good. And look at verse 5. Even. He makes this statement in verse 4 that God has loved us with a great love. And he tells us when he did it. Even when we were dead in sin. Brother Jack, I can't get over that. If I could sing a lick or two, I'd cut loose on what she just said to her a while ago. I'm amazed. Amen. Oh, praise God. Are you amazed? Hey, think about who it is and what it is that God loved with great love. While he wasn't fond of you, he loved you unconditionally. Even when you were dead in sin. You can't beat that. That means he loved you when you was at your worst. That meant he loved you when you was serving the old management. When you was operating under the control of the prince and power of the air and you was living your life in sin, God loved you. He didn't love your sin. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Oh, help me now. What about Romans 5 and verse 6? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. What love? Oh, what love! Christ died for the ungodly. Verse number 7, for scarcely a righteous man will one die. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Did you get that? You can't hardly find anybody that died for a good person. I mean, that's scarce. The Bible uses the word scarcely. For a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, there's another one of them divine butt-ends of God. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Amen. 1 John 4 and 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Listen to verse 19. For, amen, the Bible said we love him because he first loved us. Oh, this present management, it involved a gracious intervention or an interruption. It involved a gracious affection. That is God loving the unlovable. Oh, yes. I could understand a God loving a baby. They're so lovable. And I've seen a few people that I think I could understand how God could love them. You know, so nice and kind and sweet and all of that. But I want to tell you, amen. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, oh God, listen, God loved us while we were yet sinners. When we lived our life against him. When we spoke against him. Took his precious holy name in vain. He loved us. Amen. I like that song. Miss Kaylee sings, he loved me to death. What a thought. He loved me to death. Amen. So this present management that I'm now under, it involved a gracious intervention. It involved a gracious affection. And thirdly, it involved a gracious impartation. Look at the Bible in verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened. Meaning to be made alive. A gracious impartation. Meaning God imparted life to you. When I was under the old management, I was dead. It was all about death. But when I got saved and come under new management, the Lord Jesus Christ, he imparted life to me. I thought I was living when I was lost. I thought, man, I am living. This is life, right? No. It didn't take but a few seconds in that altar that night. When I got saved, I realized real quick I didn't know anything about living.
All that life that I thought was living, that partying life and all that wild life I thought was living, I found out when I met the Master, I come under new management, I passed from death unto life. Verse 1, 2, and 3 is all about death. Verse 4 and following is all about life. I passed from death unto life. If I hadn't passed from death unto life, I'd still be in the dead category. I'd still be hell-bound. But I'm glad tonight that I've been quickened. I've been made alive. Lost people, listen, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't need reformation. You don't need to straighten up. You need life. You know, I've had people to tell me, and it's true, preacher, I'd get saved, but I can't live it. That is the truth. You cannot live it. I cannot live it. The flesh cannot live it. But when you get saved, God regenerates your spirit, makes your spirit alive. Amen? See, God is a spirit. And you and I have a spirit. We are a soul, we live in a body, and we have a spirit. But the Bible says that God is spirit. John chapter 4. Therefore, I cannot know Him except on a spiritual level. My flesh can never get hooked up with God because my flesh is not spirit. God is a spirit. I cannot know God through material means because material things are not spirit. God is a spirit. Amen? I cannot know God through a fleshly means because the flesh is not spirit. God is a spirit. So before I can know God, before I can walk with God and live for God and serve God, my spirit, that part of me that only God can hook up with, because He's a spirit and I have a spirit, my spirit has got to be regenerated. My spirit has got to be made alive. That's why lost people are not interested in God. They're dead toward God. God means nothing to them. They're dead toward God. There's no hookup with God. There's no witness of His Spirit in your spirit. See, when you get saved, your spirit's made alive. And the Bible said His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. See? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit, and that's a little s, and in truth. A lot of people, I wonder why they never worship. Could it be their spirit is still dead? And if your spirit's dead, that means you've never been saved. Amen. A gracious impartation. You need life. That's why I'm not interested in going back to the bar stools and the honky-tonks and the gyp joints and the dance halls and all of that stuff. You know why? They none of that stuff give me life. Bud Stupid and Miller Lite didn't give me nothing, but they just bred death into me. But when I got saved, hallelujah, my new manager gave me life. Amen, hallelujah. Son, that right there blesses me. Gracious impartation. You know what the Bible says? 1 John 5 and 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. I want to ask you tonight. Do you have life? Now, I'm not talking about physical life. I'm talking about spiritual life. Do you have life? Are you alive spiritually? God, when He saves you and you come under new management, amen, He is going to quicken you. He's going to make you alive. Verse 1 says it, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. So it involves a gracious impartation. Are we ready for number 4? It involves a gracious elevation. Verse number 6. He hath quickened us together in verse 5. Verse 6, and hath raised us. I like this next word. What is it? up. That old management was all about death and down. Oh, my new management is about life and elevation, raising us up. Oh, I like that. God, when He deals with you and speaks to you and He's wanting to work in your life, He's not trying to put you down and push you down, amen, and take you down. He's trying to get you on a higher plane. Oh, a gracious elevation. The word raised is used in Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above and not things on the earth. Listen to this. Psalms 113 verse 7, talking about that elevation. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar. Psalm 113 verse 7. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Now that's big, isn't it? I like that word lifted. Lifted. Lifteth. Amen. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Well, God, what do you do with them? When you lift them out of the dust and out of the dunghill, what do you do with them? The next verse says that He's able to set them among princes. Whoa. God elevates those that He saves to a higher plane. Amen. A gracious elevation. 1 Samuel 2 and 8 says something similar to that. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill and set them among princes to make them to inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. Amen. Gracious elevation. Who would have ever thought, Brother Brian? Who would have ever thought 32 years ago on the 20th of this month, my spiritual birthday, who would have ever thought that God would raise me up out of the dunghill of sin, out of the nothingness of a life, and call me to preach the gospel and send me around the world preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Who would have ever thought? Until you've been high on Jesus, you know nothing. The world spends millions of dollars a day drinking and smoking and doping and popping pills and everything, looking for a little buzz, looking for a little high, looking for a little elevation. But I want to tell you, that's nothing. Because all of that I ever tried to do, you know what it did, Brother Frankie? Pick you up for a few moments or a few hours, and then kawam, drop you like a ball off of a cliff. Amen. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ lifted me up 32 years ago from the dunghill of sin, Brother Ron. Amen. And you know what? It didn't last for 30 minutes or 3 days or 3 months or 3 years. It's now been 32 years and it's still good. Bless His name. I've often said, if you could put what I've got in a bottle, you could name your price. But it don't come in a bottle, and you can't put it in a pill, and you can't find it in liquid form. Amen. He's a person. His name is Jesus. If you have the Son, you have life. Amen. And Jesus is not stingy. What He gave me and what He's gave millions, He can give you tonight. Gracious elevation. And then, number five, there is the gracious association. I'm talking about with this new management. There's a gracious association. I like this. Did you notice the repetition as we read these verses, 4, 5, and 6? The words together hath quickened us together, hath raised us up together. I like that. Association. You know, when I was under old management, Brother Brooks, man, I run with some sorry people. Or some sorry people run with me. Either way. You know why? That was my crowd. I fit in with that crowd. Are you listening to the preacher tonight? That was my crowd. That crowd in verse 2 and 3, 1, 2 and 3, that was corrupt and walking according to the course of the world and all of that, being controlled by the prince and power of the air, amen, and was fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind. That was my crowd, Brother Carroll. That was me. But when I got saved and come under new management, I got a new crowd. Oh, Brother Jack, I got a new crowd. Amen. Are you listening? And let me ask you something. If the old management had me hooked up with an old crowd, and the new management has got me hooked up with a new crowd, how can the new crowd have fellowship with the old crowd? If you're living in verse 4, 5, and 6 and following because God has saved you, then you tell me how you can flirt around with, fit in really good with that crowd that is still in verse 1, 2, and 3. Still dead in trespass and sin. You've got life. They're still dead in sin. But you fit right in with that crowd. Now listen, hello. I'm not talking about isolation. God never teaches isolation. But he does teach separation. Amen. I believe God wants you to be friendly to sinners. Jesus was. He was a friend of sinners. God don't want us to be isolated from sinners. He wants us to have a good... How are you going to win them if they don't even know who you are? How are you going to win somebody to God, amen, if you're never around them? How are they going to see that you're different if you're never around them? You're to be friendly with them. But being friendly with them, Brother Ivan, does not mean that you go partying with them. Are you listening? That's not what that's talking about. And here's the way God gave it to me several years ago, and I believe it's right. I believe you're supposed to be friendly with them until they start influencing you instead of you influencing them. When they start influencing you and you start stepping away from holiness and purity and godliness and standards in your life and convictions, and you're starting to think like them, you're starting to listen to their trashy music, you're starting to do what they do and like what they like and go where they go, guess what? Listen, for your spiritual survival, you better sever that fellowship and break fellowship quickly. Because after all, your spirituality is your responsibility. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Gracious association. I don't have time to preach on all that. But I'm glad that God gave me a new crowd. Brother Ron, I still remember what you told me. Oh, Brother Ron sitting here tonight, he got saved when he was 71. 71 years old. Been saved, what, 2 years? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got saved right over there. I mean, sure enough, saved. Life changing. Hit the ground running. Can't do enough. Can't get enough. Already got a prayer life. Already reading the Word of God daily. And the devil showed him one day. He said, "Where's all your friends at?" Pointing out all that crowd that he used to run with and coon hunt with or whatever. They was all gone. They wouldn't have nothing to do with him. He told me on one occasion he went over to sit down with one that he used to run dogs with and coon hunt with, took his plate, and sat down with that fella, and that fella took his plate and got up and moved. Are you listening? And he said the devil was crawling up on his shoulder showing him that you've lost this friend and these friends and those friends and nobody that you used to run with has anything to do with you. And then all of a sudden God opened his eyes inside the church and said, look around. You've got a whole new crowd. You've got a whole new a bunch of friends. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church crowd is my crowd. Hey, no, not the drinking crowd, not the drugging crowd, not the cussing crowd. Amen. None about that. No, that's not my crowd. I'd be like a square peg in a round hole around that crowd. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Get in a place and they've got this music blaring that grieves my spirit. I'm ready to leave. I can't stand it. Used to, I'd do the backyard butterfly and the shindig shuffle with it. Amen. But after I got saved, I discovered a praying knee and a dancing foot don't grow on the same leg. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's right. I'm glad, thank God, tonight God has saved me tonight by His grace and has changed my life and has hooked me up with the church of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Whoa, thank God for the church. Thank God for my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Thank God for that crowd that shares my heart, that's at one with me. Amen. Loves what I love. Loves my Savior. Loves the Word of God. Amen. Amen. That crowd never want to talk about Jesus. I can be friendly to them and speak in the way in passing. There ain't no way I can run with them long. I want to run around somebody talking about Jesus. Amen. If you get embarrassed when Jesus comes up, His name comes up, you probably don't want none of this crowd around you. Oh, thank God we've been quickened together. That word together means the same thing that happened to me happened to you. That's why we can get along. We've got the same Father. We've got the same birth. We've got the same citizenship. Thank God we're headed to the same big house on high. Heaven. Well, I'm about to have a spell. Glory to God. Amen. And you know, I thought when I first got saved, I didn't mean to spend all that much time on that, but I thought when I first got saved, I thought, my, what am I going to do? Because I've always been, you know, just a sociable fella and actually the party clown and the class clown, and I live to make somebody laugh and all that stuff. And I thought, now what in the world am I going to do now? I got saved and Jesus ruined my life far as sin is concerned in a matter of moments. I mean, I went... Amen. You say, what do you mean Jesus ruined your life? I can't fit in no more with that crowd. I have no more desire to do that no more. Jesus will ruin your life too. He'll ruin your life of sin. Yeah. But you know what He did? He didn't just put a stop to verse 3. He gave me a beginning, a new life, a new Lord, a new crowd, new desires. And I bless Him. I bless Him for that. And if God hadn't saved me that night, you know what I'd have did? I'd have did what most of us know people that did. I'd have went right back. I would have been back in sin before the next day. But when God saved me, He got me in on the second night of a 7-week revival. I went to church every night for 7 weeks, working 40 hours plus every week, driving all the way from Middle Fork all the way around through to Hendersonville, North Carolina, and was a welder. Drive all the way back home, just barely get home, time to get dressed, get ready, and get to church. Church wouldn't get out many times till 10:30, 11, 11:30, and then we'd go down either in the fellowship hall or the basement or up at behind the church in the woods and pray till 12, 1, 1:30. And I thought about this. Thank God for Brother Randy Bain, it was preaching. But you know what I thought about? And I'd never thought about it before. I believe what God molded my early Christian life with, more so than the preaching, and I got a lot of that, but was those long, all-night prayer meetings. That's what done it. That got me introduced to talking to Jesus, talking to the Father early in my Christian life. Amen. Oh yeah. I mean, listen. Some of my friends that got saved in that meeting too, they'd call me up on their lunch break. They said, "Brother Radcliffe, where are you at?" I said, "Well, I'm up here, I'm over here, whatever." And they'll say, "Brother Radcliffe, why don't you come through?" This was after I'd done left the welding place because I was going to go to Bible college and that was standing in my way. And I said, "No, I'm not going to do that." I went and made cabinets, Boyd Earl Bailey, his cabinet shop, worked with him. And he let me go to college, let me just work whenever I needed to work and all that kind of thing. But you know what? Hey, man, they called me, "Where you at?" I said, "Well, I'm up here." They said, "Why don't you come through about lunchtime?" And said, "We'll go pray a while." And we'd go pray during their lunch break. We'd just find us a place off on the side of the road where there wasn't a whole lot of traffic, and we'd just pray a hole in the sky. We'd meet on Fridays and Saturday nights. We'd meet at somebody's house, or we'd meet up on Turkey Pen Gap, and we'd just pray. I believe those prayer meetings probably did more to mold my Christian life than all the preaching that I heard in my early Christian life. Amen. I wasn't interested. Now listen, you tell me. Come on now, I'm asking you. What could have made that change in me? In one night, what could have made that change in me other than God? I have that time and never since had a desire to go back to any of them parties. Never. What happened? New management. Under new management. Well, and you know what? It's not going to end here. It's not going to end here. Look at this. I mentioned that this morning. I'm already preached my time out. But listen to verse number 6 and 7. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Here it is, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. I really wanted to get into verse 8, 9, and 10 because that verse number 10 really is a contrast to verse 2 and 3. Everything the devil wanted to do in verse 1, 2, and 3 in your life when you was under old management, God is wanting through His workmanship in verse number 10. God's wanting to get you going in another direction. "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." But I will talk now about the perspective management, and I'm just going to leave you with that. The perspective management. In other words, from now on and forever, we're going to be under the management of God. Right. Amen. We're going to be serving Him. And you know what? You know what one of the things He's going to be that we're going to be doing from now on, or when we get to heaven, what we're going to be doing? We're going to be listening to God as He shows us the exceeding riches of His grace toward us and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Brother Ivan, you said it was big. You and I, we don't have a clue how big it is. I mean, yes, it's bigger than anything we ever imagined, and it's getting bigger. But it's so big that God's going to have to give us a glorified body to stand it. And it's so big, we're going to have plenty of running room in heaven to be able to stand it. That's how big it is. How big is it? It's going to take forever, unending forever. God saying, "This is what I did through my grace for you. This is my exceeding riches of my grace that I've showed you in my kindness through Jesus Christ." That's going to be pretty big. That's going to be a big thing, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. That's right. But we've been, listen, the Bible talks about in heavenly places in verse number 6. And that word "in heavenly places" means existing in heaven. And if you read that right, that "in heavenly places," we've been made to sit together in heavenly places, that is both now and in the future. We have got our position in Christ in heavenly places already. But one of these days, we're going to leave this world and we're going to take flight to our heavenly home. And my goodness, what a time we're going to have. When you could study, listen, you could study, write these verses down. They're in the same the previous chapter. If you want to study that out about the heavenly places. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So we know where that's at. Now these next few words stuck out to me, Brother Silas. I underscored them. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put under. I got those two things underlined. Far above all and put all things under in verse number 22. Heavenly places is an elevated position. Thank God that puts us above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. Amen. Why? Because we're under new management. We're under new management, amen. I like that. And you can read on there. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Amen. So my testimony tonight is I'm under new management. If you don't like what God's doing in my life, go tell the manager. Amen. And if he don't like what's going on in my life, he don't have to ask nobody nothing. He just deals with it. Amen. But I'm glad tonight, I'm glad tonight that God is able to change your life. Thank God, I'm glad to report. I've got great news. There's new management for you if you're here lost without God. There's new management for you. Amen. If you continue to live underneath the dominion and the power and the control of the old management, they're found in verse 1, 2, and 3, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. What you need is new management. What you need is to get saved. Amen. And what God's done for me, He can do for you. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Miss Paul Sue making her way.